Welcome to Book Bridges, the podcast of WordBridge Now, igniting a passion for diverse literature through live online author meetups, because words build bridges to unite. We are teachers, educators, and authors collaborating against hatred. I'm your host, Angie Beimer Johnson. WordBridge Now members gather monthly online to meet and to be inspired by diverse authors. It's like a book club with the author. During our author meetups, we get the inside scoop on powerful, diverse literature, breaking down barriers and uniting us across differences. What's coming up is just a taste of our full program with Dr. Taranjeet Singh Vutalia, Executive Director of Religions for Peace USA. He has won several awards for his work as a servant leader in the interfaith movement for over two decades. Dr. Vutalia has been a member of the Board of Trustees of the Parliament of the World's Religions for 12 years, as well as North American Interfaith Network. He is also a founding trustee of Sikh Council for Interfaith Relations and serves on the advisory committee of the Global Sikh Council. He currently also serves on the board of Faith in Public Life and the Interfaith Association of Central Ohio. In 2021, he published My Journey Home, Going Back to Lenda, Punjab, based on a visit to his ancestral home in Pakistan more than 70 years after his grandparents left it in 1947. Welcome, Dr. Taranjeet Singh Vutalia, today. Thank you for talking with us for WordBridge Now, our podcast, Book Bridges. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Angela. I very much appreciate you coming today and for us to have this conversation.
Yes. Well, Taranjeet, today we're going to be talking about honoring the holiness of the religious other. And I wanted to mention, first of all, that you are currently the Executive Director of Religions for Peace, USA.
Yes.
Yes. And that you have been a servant leader in the interfaith community for two decades. So tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Wonderful. I grew up in South Asia, and I remember that I had a Muslim friend in high school. And I remember one of my teachers pulled me aside and said, "Don't be friends with that guy." Now, this was my favorite teacher in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, maybe one Muslim can be bad or he can be bad, but all of them can't be bad people. Fast forward, I came to Ohio State 35 years ago to do my PhD. And as I was here, I was thinking about what should I become? And it was clear to me, looking at the larger American society within the OSU sphere, where you have all these places of worship that are at the edges of campus, symbolic of how faith was pushed away from the university 35 years ago, I decided that, yes, I wanted to be religious, but what I wanted to be was still open. Afterwards, it came to me, and I talked about my Muslim friend in high school. I remember when he used to come to our place, he would eat only halal meat. And so he would essentially take a chicken and say a prayer and do that. When I would go to his home, I would only eat vegetarian food. Now I better understand what we were trying to do then was we were trying to negotiate religious differences.
Mm.
And so this intentionality of engaging with people of other faiths is very important. One of the challenges that we have in American society today is, I believe that many of the immigrant religious traditions feel that there is a need for others to understand your religious tradition. But I don't think there's as much of an appreciation of understanding the religious other and the larger society. As if I would come to a church, come and give a lecture on the Sikh faith, my job is done. You all know about the Sikh faith, right? So I think there are places the interfaith movement needs to grow in order to be able to not simply tolerate one another. And that is why the title of what I primarily talk about is how to honor the holiness of the religious other. Now, it's important that we belong to many religious traditions. To say we all are the same is not true. We have many different beliefs. If God wanted all the flowers in the world to be roses and that to red roses, God could have done that. Yes. But diversity is so built into Mother Nature.
Right.
And so is the case with religious traditions. And even within religious traditions, we have diversity of beliefs and opinions.
In thinking about your leadership on an international scale, do you have particular moments that stand out to you that you feel are in any way heartbreaking or very inspiring or encouraging in these instances of honoring that holiness in others?
Let me begin by giving an example of how we actually violate it. And with all the horrific things happening currently in Israel and Palestine and Gaza, I was reminded of an incident in 2003. I had a chance to be part of the World Assembly of Religions for Peace, which was meeting in Kyoto, Japan. And at that gathering, this was at the closing ceremony, the chief rabbi of Israel was speaking, and he spoke very eloquently. And he touched, you know, very passionately about the pain of the Jewish community, but did not even touch or mention the pain on the other side. Right after the chief rabbi of Israel spoke, the chief Palestinian judge spoke. Guess what? He did exactly the same thing. He talked about the suffering of the Palestinian people without even recognizing that there was a suffering of the religious other in the same conflict. And we see some of that happening today.
Right.
The challenge is, if we have to honor the holiness of the religious other, we may or may not agree on the conflict, but we have to recognize the immense suffering that is happening on both sides. That's called compassion. As people of faith, if we can't have compassion, we can't be spiritual. In fact, I think the Dalai Lama had mentioned, right, that compassion is such a fundamental virtue of people of faith. And sometimes we as people of faith, or what I would say, we all our faiths call upon us to be righteous. However, sometimes we become self-righteous. And I think in this case, in the case of the conflict, that I gave you the example in Kyoto, Japan, both the religious leaders, I think, were not being compassionate because I think they were being self-righteous. So one challenge that we have for all people of faith, especially religious leaders, is to be righteous but never cross over the red line of being self-righteous in the sense, by self-righteous, I mean that for me to be right, Angela, you have to be wrong.
Yes.
But I have to recognize that there is pain and suffering on the other side, especially when there are times of conflict.
So you've been in this work, again, for over two decades. You've mentioned that to me prior to our recording here that your email list is 5,000 strong for the Association of Interfaith Association of Central Ohio. I'm wondering, if at all, how that local work is different from the international work that you do?
Sure. A lot of the international work that I'm involved with is more at the level of interreligious work, in the sense that I'm interacting more as a representative of my religious tradition and or on behalf of the national organization that I work with. Just like politics, all interfaith work is local. However, the local level, what we are doing is building interfaith relationships. It's about relationship building, and I'm not speaking on behalf now of my religious tradition. So I don't need to have very broad shoulders. I can talk about my view of my faith. It doesn't have to represent all Sikhs in the world or the entire religious tradition, which is very, very helpful. Now, to be able to engage people, when I came to Columbus in Central Ohio, I began working with the Interfaith Association of Central Ohio in about 1991. And at that time, I remember the there was a synagogue and a Presbyterian church on Broad Street that shared the same building on different days. And it was a fascinating way. And I was like, growing up in South Asia, I had never seen two faiths that were so different share the same worship space.
Sure.
And so that was for me like, wow. And so over time, I think Central Ohio has come a long way in this sense. In South Asia, there is a saying that you don't dig the well when the fire breaks out. You do it much before. Mm-hmm. Central Ohio has been lucky that the Interfaith Association of Central Ohio has been around for almost 35 years now. And so when 9/11 happened, the bridges already were built. The rabbis, the imams, and the religious leaders of different communities, all the pastors all knew each other. Yes, there have been challenges, and there continue to be challenges, times of conflict. And that is a disappointment that I do have with the interfaith movement. See, because I'm such a part of it, I can criticize it freely too.
Sure.
That while we've had great success, is it at times of conflict that we are not able to come together and act together, which continues to be a challenge with the current crisis? And we see that happening not only in Central Ohio, but across our nation.
With that said, I've experienced this in my life that I want to speak with people, even with my own faith, about the things that I know we disagree deeply on. And many times people are simply reluctant or outright refuse to have that conversation with the idea that it's pointless, we're not going to change one another's minds. And do you have some practical advice for helping people move beyond that, or how can we help people feel more comfortable?
I believe the purpose of dialogue is not to change minds, but to increase your own understanding of others.
Right.
I think that is the key thing.
Yep.
To be able to do that, it is very difficult, Angela, as you said, to do what you referred to as an intra-faith dialogue within your own religious tradition. What I have found useful is that the techniques that you use in intra-faith relationship building are important to learn first before you get into intra-faith dialogue. Let me give you an example. One example would be is to begin with, you do an activity that just brings you together. For example, you might want to eat before you have a conversation, you know? Small things, or maybe you can take a walk together, but to a complete stranger or somebody or on social media, you don't engage in an intra-faith, that's disaster.
Sure.
You do an intra-faith conversation. And so I think that helps to do that. And the second is to recognize up front that we are not here to change minds. We are simply here to listen to each other. And even listening, as you probably are aware, is the way God has made us as human beings, unfortunately, it seems to me, is that we listen not to understand as human beings, but we listen to ask questions. So this need to ask questions while we listen helps disrupt in our own minds the deep listening that we want. And that is where I think in intra-faith dialogue, you learn how to, with intentionality, do deep listening without judging the religious other, without putting that other person in a box. So we have all these multiple identities that we have to connect with, rather than giving that person one singular identity of whatever that might be. And that would help build connections.
Mm-hmm. What might you say to those who feel a sense of powerlessness in light of such deep hatreds that are often grounded in religious beliefs?
Religion is a very powerful tool of social change. It can be used for immense good and can be used for immense evil. The challenge I think we as people of faith have, in a sense, I can talk about, where we go wrong. The first place is what I would call being an exclusivist, that my faith and my interpretation of my faith. So if you have to be a Sikh, you have to wear a turban. This turban has to be the style I'm wearing. It has to be maroon. Mm. It can't be any other color. This exclusive worldview in terms of religion is somewhat at the basis of many religious traditions viewing themselves as being the best in the world. I firmly believe that my faith is the best for me, mm-hmm. but not for you, Angela.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That is the world in which we want to create, where we are honoring people of all faiths and people of no faith. I think our roles are more complementary, like the two open hands mm-hmm. and the fingers come through with each other. I think we are stronger together if we work with each other. We have to engage with religious others. We have to honor our religious differences mm-hmm. and celebrate what commonalities we have, and being able to build a community here.
If you'd like to hear the full podcast with Taranjeet, you're in luck. Become a member at wordbridgenow.com for access to this extended conversation. Join us for our next month's author live online to ask questions of your own. See the link in the show notes. Thanks again to Dr. Taranjeet Singh Bhatelia. In the spirit of words as bridges, take care.